Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Welcome to the Story Studio. Oh yeah, here we go. Check it out now.
Welcome to the Story Studio, a podcast where an independent publishing company explores the world of self-publishing, independent art, and the future of storytelling. My name is Luke Condor with K, and today I'm joined by...
Daniel Wilcox with three of the five vowels.
Well, three of the five, wow, that's a good number.
Not including S.
I've got three as well. Oh, yeah, I'm matching you there.
Do you? Yeah, you do.
Yeah. Do I? Yeah, I do.
You do.
So just those two today. So we've done a lot of interview shows recently, and we just figured we'd have a show where it's just us, because it's easy to organise is the main thing, and just a chance to catch up, because, I mean, we've been busy. We don't often get to sort of sit down and talk about what we've been up to. Although we definitely try to every show, we seem to get in a little bit of an update on what we're editing or writing.
It's very similar to this thing that I'm currently working on at the minute, which actually has no connection with your thing, but I want to say it.
Yeah. So, I mean, if the listeners listen to the show are like, oh, I prefer the stuff when they're like interviewing people and talking about certain topics, then you might want to... Well, don't skip the show.
Don't turn people away. It's not that... Yeah, people, if you're listening to this episode and you want other people besides the people that actually host it, then just ignore this one. Yeah. Come back when we have better people that you actually want to listen to.
What I would say is, if you are listening to the show, you might just want to grab a beer, you know, chill out, and listen to us talk to each other for a bit. Yeah, man.
Join us on the show.
Yeah. What have you been up to?
Lots and lots, to be honest. So I'm trying to remember what I mentioned during the last episode, but I have finished the third draft of Lazarus, finally, which came in at a beastly 100,000 words, which I think was double what we were both expecting. But
yeah,
I think it will serve the story in the long run, and it'll be wonderful. I've also got a couple of other... I'm in one of those weird positions at the minute where I'm... in a bit of a limbo waiting for you to finish They Rot so that we can start at the same time with you editing Lazarus and me editing the second book of They Rot and going with that. So I'm kind of just trying to fill my creative well, keep myself busy so that I'm not just doing nothing and just seeing what happens. And that has taken the form of a novella that I'm currently working on, which is episode one of what will be a longer serial.
It's like 20,000 words or something, right?
Yeah, I'm aiming for around 20,000 words for each book, because I don't want it to be huge. I want it to be enough that I can kind of put it out regularly for people if they enjoy it and go from there.
Nice.
How about you?
Well, so the last time we recorded was with John, and I was just saying how February just finished and we'd done the whole Kickstarter campaign, and I'd done like 50,000 words, and I just had a bit of a break. Last week or so, I've gone back into the writing, fully refreshed. I've written about 15,000 words, I think, since then, for the second book in the Rot universe. And I think I'm on like 62K or something in a minute. So it's getting there. That should be done by the end of this month, I think.
Juicy. I'm very, very excited to see what you've done with it. It kind of feels strange, because we had that intense month in January where we did a load of edits for They Rot and we got it to a shipshape condition and we put it out. But since then, I kind of feel like I've forgotten everything about it.
Yeah. Well, I feel I feel like that about Lazarus. So when we swap back, I'm sure it'll come back to us. I'm sure. I hope.
Yeah, yeah. Please. Just feel like you get to a point where you just start working other stuff, and everything else just falls out of your head.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so we've got like a list of stuff that we plan to do. I guess you could call this like a quarterly review. That's what you said, Dan. I think it's quite fitting.
Yeah.
So we're coming to like the 3 month mark. It's a good time to look back and think what we intended to do, what we have done, and what we haven't got around to.
Yeah.
But before all that, should we jump into the big whoops for the week? Do you want to go? Have you got big whoop ready?
My big whoop. I mean, unless you want to go first, sir.
Well,
it's completely up to you.
Okay, so they might sign. So mine's a fairly big discussion topic, actually. You go first. Let us know what you think.
Okay. You go. No, I'll go. Listeners, just switch off. Okay, so my big whoop is that we got the news today that we came second in the This Is Horror Fiction Podcast of the Year category of the This Is Horror Awards, which is friggin' astounding, to be honest.
It is when you think about the shows that we beat.
So there were some big ones like Welcome to Night Vale.
The No Sleep Podcast.
No Sleep Podcast. And we were beaten by Pseudopod in the end, who, to be completely honest, I've not listened to any of their stuff, but I know they're quite big titans in the horror fiction arena. So
10 years have been going for those guys.
Yeah, to come second to them is a little bit surreal. I don't really know what to say too much about it, other than thanks to all the people that voted and contributed, and thanks to everyone at HNC and all of our freaking awesome narrators who dedicate their time to us and make it a thing that can happen, especially on a budget in which I can barely buy a pack of gum each month. Do you know what I mean? The fact that we've done all this with very, very little money going into it has been...
This is properly bootstrapped, like community-led project. So people listening who are writers, just thinking about Pseudopod, they're accepting short stories, and they pay. They must have money. They pay. They pay for stories. I think it's a decent rate. I think you'd end up coming out like $100 or something for a short story if you get submitted. Yeah.
That'll be our next level.
Yeah, yeah. So my big whoop, I guess I just wanted to spend a little bit of time gushing over Stephen King and the Kingverse.
It's a good thing we're not recording video.
Just because, the It film's coming out. We've just seen the Dark Tower poster, which is a wicked poster. It's flipping amazing. It took me like a couple of glances to see that they, in the negative space, they'd drawn a tower. I didn't see that at all. Yeah, Kat did as well. I was too busy looking at the skyscrapers. I was looking upside down, to be fair.
Do you remember the original poster for the Batman film?
Yeah, that's what I thought. Yeah, yeah. But, there's that. And then there's the Castle Rock TV show.
Yes.
Like, there's so much like cool stuff happening. And also, like, I've decided to start reading Stephen King books, and I'm really enjoying them. And I'm just like so into Stephen King. I've just finished reading Insomnia today.
It's kind of amazing how quickly you have to suddenly go on this book and this book. Oh my God, I need to read more and more and more.
Yeah, yeah. I'm a bit like that. I tend to be like that with like comics and stuff normally. But I just really, 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 really love it. And I love his writing style. I love jumping back to like when I read like Salem's Lot and then reading Insomnia. There's such a difference in the way he writes. But it's just great, and he's got this whole universe. It's amazing, and I just want to sort of spend. I just wanted to say that it's fucking amazing. I'm enjoying it. That's what I wanted to say.
My thing with Stephen King. So I went through a similar thing. Stephen King, as he probably is with 90% of the writing community, is part of the reason I got into writing in the first place. And I'm pretty sure I've mentioned it on the podcast where I was bought a book of his short stories for Christmas and fell in love with it.
Everything's Eventual.
Everything's Eventual, which is honestly still one of my favorite.
Yeah.
Collections of short stories. Some of the stories in that, the opening one, I think it's called Autopsy Room 4. It's just first person, a guy in a body bag, and you just feel everything. But I got to a point where I read quite a lot of him in a short space of time, and then when it came to my own writing, you realize that a lot of what he gets away with, and the reason he's so good that he can get away with it, is because he's so famous that if you try to do that stuff, you'd either be seen as pretentious or a bit almost a bit misguided, like you're trying to do too much. But when you get to a level where you can just write and pour your heart on the page, which is, I'm reading The Stand at the minute, which is something like 1600 pages, and I'm pretty sure the only reason he was allowed to write it that long is because he was Stephen King.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, they told him to, I watched the documentary, they told him to cut 400 pages, right? And then he put them back in later on.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I would say, like, I do feel like sometimes he...
cutting 400 pages.
I know, yeah, it's insane. I do feel like he does... that 400 pages, that's like Day Rot and half of this next book.
Yeah.
Yes, I mean, like, I do feel like he can waffle on a bit, but I really don't mind because he's got, like, such a...
smooth
way of writing. Yeah And now it's kind of like what I'd like to try and do more of in my own prose.
The book that I'm working on at the minute, which I'll do a title reveal for anyone who wants to know when winter comes, I'm trying to not emulate that style, but I'm trying to take more on board where rather than with They Rot, because it's the idea is to keep it commercial, to keep it tight, to keep it moving, because this is telling a bit of a larger story, I am exploring the characters a lot more and letting myself just go, I want to write this, and seeing what happens. I'm not dialing back on backstory. It's a bit of a cathartic release, really.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to doing one of those projects, but we've still got to write the commercial stuff at the minute. What are we doing? Okay, so what are we reviewing? So I've got a list here of stuff that we intend to do. Do you want me to go through the list and just see what we
shoot? Yeah.
Okay, so the first one was 3 months of consistent TOS and TSS. So 3 months of consistent podcast. So The Other Stories and The Story Studio. I think The Other Stories is completely consistent. Like that's a pretty big priority of ours, I think.
Yeah.
Especially because, and you're very good at doing that. You're very good at implementing systems, and I think you have you and Carl made a whole like spreadsheet, and I make spreadsheets, but you make ones of actual tick boxes and stuff in there.
That was Carl. I have no idea how to do the tick boxes, but okay. I'm very thankful he did. And he actually sent me something today, which was something that I'd had in my head to do, basically for new narrators, a guide on how to upload decent quality audio.
Yeah.
And I've been thinking of doing one for ages and mentioning it to him, but never got around to him, and he just did it. Just Carl is awesome.
Yeah, I call him the last vanguard of decent audio quality. Like, he's so on top of that. I mean, so The Other Stories, we stuck to that so well, and I think that just goes to show sort of how much we like that show and how much we want it to keep going.
Yeah.
But the Story Studio, we have been consistent, but we have dropped the show to a fortnightly show, and I think that was wise.
Yeah, I think. As we said when we did it and we acknowledged the change, that it's one of those things that I'd love to do more of, because even now I'm like, it feels like ages since we last recorded an episode.
Yeah.
But it's just time constraints. And if this is where we're at in order to keep this going while managing everything else, then I'm more than happy. If listeners are happy, and we're still getting good feedback from people.
I would ask you, do you feel like the quality of the episodes and the interviews is... remain the same, dipped in quality, or is better?
I think it's better.
I think it's better as well.
Yeah, we've got a bit strict with the timings. I think, you know, this is just let us brag about ourselves episode. No, it's not. But yeah, I think it's gotten better. It feels a bit smoother and a bit more laid back with some of the guests. I mean, to be honest, with the first few guests, because this is my first actual podcast show I've been on.
Yeah.
I was sort of gushing a bit on the guests, a bit like, oh my God, I'm speaking to these people. But the cool thing is they're people and they like to talk, which is why they're on a talking podcast.
Yeah. I definitely feel like we've got the interviews have just got better. I think maybe it's the fact that like it doesn't feel, when we're doing a show every single week, it can very often feel panicky. Like where you like, oh man, I need to read some of that guy's work, or like, I need to get some questions together, like, so, and like it feels very sort of stressed. But when you do it every week, you kind of just sort of, you take your time a bit more and you start to read up more about the guests and sort of develop these questions quite naturally.
Yeah, you know what it is you want to say and you can do a bit more prep, because I mean we were doing prep before, but on top of everything else it's a lot more difficult to manage.
Yeah so I mean I'd say we did quite well there. I mean there's more we can do, but I think consistency in that is definitely a a boon. The next point.
Before you move on, one of the things I'd love to get more of is a bit more guest feedback and a bit more people getting in touch. And if they have any questions, then feel free to shoot them over to us. Because I'd love to have a segment either at the beginning or towards the end where we can just have
audience
questions. Just people sending stuff in. If anyone's got anything they want to ask or anything they want us to cover, then feel free. Because I was listening to the Jay Thorne's Pedal to the Metal podcast, and they're quite good at actually getting people in touch and listening to them and answering questions. I'd love to kind of have a bit more of that style to it.
I think they on Facebook, I've seen every now and again, they post a question randomly, don't they? And then they just start answering those questions on the show.
We could
definitely do some of that. Second point I've got here was open a bank account and like do more of that sort of behind the scenes stuff for the company itself, which we have done. Boom. It took ages to get sorted. But
no one wanted our money.
Yeah. So difficult to open a business bank. I mean, just because we're not in the same city, I think it's made it more difficult. But that's fine. Number three was launch El Marvo Kickstarter campaign by Feb. We did, and it was 135% funded or something like that.
That's awesome, man. That's so good.
I was thinking about it.
Have you calmed down from it yet? Has it all sunk in?
I guess so. I mean, we haven't had the money yet. It takes 2 weeks for that sort of process. But Dan's already working on the art, so it's sort of out of my hands at the minute. I'm just sort of waiting for... I don't know. I was thinking about this the other day. So when you sort of say, okay, we're going to launch a Kickstarter campaign by then, or we're going to launch a book by then, it's so easy just to not do that. Do you know what I mean? It's like, it's so easy just to sort of say, let's push that back. We're not quite ready, or... I think it was Woody Allen said that the secret to success is just showing up, because most people just don't show up. Like, they say they're going to do something and just don't do it. And I was just thinking, like, as we've done here, like, if you say, okay, I'm going to definitely do this, I'm definitely going to do that, I'm going to launch this then, I'm going to send an email then, and then as difficult as it is, just do it. Just like force yourself to do it, as if you're like a personal trainer shouting at yourself, get out of bed and do it. Like, as difficult as it is, it just seems to work. Like, it does work.
There's nothing going to happen if you just sit back and don't physically do it. I've got to, so I've written the first episode of the Sideways, the Other Stories audio drama that is all wonderful, and I'm very happy with it, but that's going to be going to Kickstarter, and I've now got to sit down and work out the costings of it all and sort out artwork and stuff. And I think that stuff's a bit intimidating for me. So I'm in that situation where I'm like, I'll have to pick a date. Not sure when that date will be. It'll probably be next month. I need to sit down and just have a chat about that and see what we can push out.
Speaking of, number four was Prep TOS Sideways campaign, which is what you're talking about there. So one of the things we really want to do is a sequential show, not just a short story show. And that's like your baby that you're holding a script up for. It's called, are we saying what it's called?
Yeah, go for it.
It's called Cypher, and it's a steampunk VR, AR sort of techno thriller type thing. And we're going to be kickstarting that. So this is going to be one of the ways we're going to try and pay some of the narrators back, and Carl, the editor, is by kickstarting a show, basically to pay them and get this other show made.
Yeah, so they don't leave us. It's basically just a really, really big love note to everyone.
But I mean, it's hopefully the listeners will enjoy that as well.
No, I think so. One of the bits of feedback we got was that people seem to love our sci-fi stuff. And I've never really written much sci-fi, but, you know, I thought I'd give it a stab, and I'm quite happy with how it's turning out. So, yeah, there'll be more on that coming soon.
Yeah, it's weird, actually, the sci-fi stuff. People do tend to lean towards that. Out of curiosity, what has been your favourite theme? Like, we've done 13 themes so far of the other stories.
That's a big question. I think zombies was a fun one.
Zombies, but it's like weirdly restricting, but weirdly like because you know all the tropes, you can do whatever you want, and like it feels really very free.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, there's been a few that I've kind of really enjoyed what has come out at the end of it, but wasn't so keen going in. So time travel, I was not ready for that one, but I feel like that's one of my favorite stories that I've written.
Yeah, and also one of the best themes. Like, I think some of the stories that came out of that were really good.
Oh yeah, they were solid. They were really, really good. And I think, was that around the time that Cole joined us?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, so, it would have been, yeah.
Yeah, so he brought it all to life and made it wonderful, but
yeah.
Yeah. What about yours?
Oh, it's difficult because I can only really think of like the most recent ones, and that's like post-apocalyptic and the artificial intelligence, which is the current one we're doing. I don't know, I think time travel is the one that sticks out in my mind as a really solid theme that everyone made really great stories that I really enjoyed.
Yeah. What was your least favourite?
I think maybe the space one. Okay. Maybe because we all kind of, well, three out of four of us all did similar sort of story.
There's all people stories. Drifting through space,
But no, I don't know. It's cool. I enjoy it. It's just, I enjoy writing that one as much as the others.
It's a challenge, which I think is good, and that was part of the intention going in, was to stretch us.
So the next point we tried to hit was finish drafting the second Rut book and finish Lazarus book. So it depends what we did mean by finish there, because although like a draft will be complete of the Remain, which is the second Rut book, it won't be finished. And Lazarus... I mean, I still need to go through it, but I'm not going to change too much, I don't think. Depends. Start again.
See what you find, yeah. Scrap it. I mean, I think... So originally when we wrote this, I think the intention was to have Lazarus finished roughly around the same time as They Rot. And it ended up... I think I finished the third draft around the middle of February, so... But to be fair, some of that was because I ended up putting more and more time into They Rot to get it ready for publication, because we decided just to get that going, and really, really glad we did. So I think that one counts. If you go against the list, it counts as a failure, but it's not too far off of being publication worthy, I don't think.
Yeah. I mean, I'll take it as a success. I mean, for me, the finished drafting bit of the goal just means... get the majority of the biggest work for me is always the first draft. I guess that's not necessarily true, because when I think about how long we spend editing stuff.
Yeah.
Like it took about 6 months or something last time.
Yeah, I'm not sure what happened. I think the end of the year just happened.
Yeah, we were tired.
Yeah. There's a lot going on.
Number six was grab some beers and hang out, which we haven't done. Like
no.
The last time we all saw each other was at Lincoln.
Mm-hmm. October.
Like, I mean, we have failed here, like, and I do want to, like, fix this, because...
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Like, I think there's vast amount of times we just don't talk to each other just because we're busy. We're like doing our own thing, and then and then apart from these podcasts and occasional story meetings and stuff, like we just it's difficult to get together.
Yeah, need to see more Matt. I don't see enough Matt.
Yeah,
where are you, Matt?
Yeah. and the last one was sign up to Insta Freebie and run a giveaway, which you did. And I'll be honest, it's worked very well. So me and Dan started a new mailing list just for our, like our co-written fiction, post-apocalyptic type stuff. And Insta Freebie, for we've only spent $20 and we've got 1,000 subscribers on that emailing list now.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So I think we've done pretty well. Is there anything that you... going forward would like to try and do for Project Dan, which is the overall name for everything now?
I want to keep just slugging away and working on the stuff that we're doing, so I'm really really happy if they rock the series. And I think one of my big rocks was to have 3 of those out by the end of the year, which I think is still achievable. I've got, by the end of the year, I wanted 3 of They Rot, Lazarus to be published, and one of the what has become When Winter Comes out. And to be honest, I think looking at it now, I'm undershooting a bit. I could probably do more, but also I'm enjoying leaving a bit of time free to be flexible for other stuff that comes this way.
Yeah.
I think I definitely would like Cypher planned and ready to go in the next month or so, maybe.
Yeah.
Even if that doesn't mean putting it out straight away, but actually knowing what's going to happen and what the plan is.
Yeah. I think if you get to the point where like you have, because when you make a Kickstarter project, you can basically just draft out the campaign page, and as a Kickstarter campaign page tends to have everything that you need. Do you know what I mean? So like if you make a draft of that, you'll have a solid idea of your artwork, you'll have a solid idea of the pilot show, and it will just get your project all in the right order. So I think like just having a draft of the campaign page is a pretty monumental goal.
So we can get that done. I think just one of the goals I want, at least for quarter two, is to start seeing just a bit more money coming in.
Yeah.
To be completely honest, just enough that, because I mean, we are making money at the minute, like bits of money, but it'd be nice to kind of make a bit more money using other avenues and see what we can do and where.
Yeah. Well, so that was something we talked about today, and something I would like to do more of is like run more author services. But so we were talking about like cover design and stuff. But one thing I do want to try and do, I want to try and do like a very small 7-day online workshop. And so I'll run through PayPal, like just through like Facebook groups and stuff, and just to get an idea of like how that works. I know some people have had success with it, and I think we could do it well. I think people would get a lot out of it. It's like a small group of about 10 people. It's something I'd like to try anyway. And we could always scale up from there if it works.
Yeah. Yeah, I think people would be interested in that as well, just because I feel it always sounds like you're speaking from yoga when you say this, but I feel like there is stuff that we can impart upon people, especially people in the early stages that do need a bit of a leg up, a bit of a confidence boost just to get started. Because at the end of the day, that's the whole point of indie publishing, is that we all have come from essentially nothing to do the things that we're doing. And I mean, even myself about 2.5 years ago would never have dreamed that I'd have a novel with my name on the shelf, the podcast doing so well, and everything else that's currently going on. So if there are any nuggets of wisdom inside us, then I'd love to pull them out and throw them at people.
For money.
Yeah, for money.
Yeah. So that's something we should definitely look at. I also want to do more conventions and events and stuff like that. So even if it's not like us exhibiting, like I think it'd be cool to go to like, I think we've missed it, but like the London Book Fair or, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
You just sort of grab a few beers, go around and talk to people, hand out some business cards and that kind of thing. And also do Comic Cons because we'll have stuff to sell more of. We've got like the banner, the roller banner stuff.
And, yeah.
And again, that's more excuse to just sort of hang around with each other and get some FaceTime.
Yeah, I keep coming across all of our CDs that we made up at the last one and our little slips of paper with the website on. And I'm just like, there are so many of these. But I definitely want to get out there. And I think even the fact that we've met some cool people on this podcast that go to these fairs, I'd love to just see a bit more of them and say hi.
Yeah. And like Russell Nolte, when we had him on the show, was like so adamant about how good it is to be face to face with your customers and like sell them your books personally. And I can kind of see that. By the way, Russell Nolte, so like when he was on the show, we were both about to launch campaigns. He's hit his, it was $20,000, his goal. No, his goal was $16,000, but he's hit $20,000.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Congrats.
Yeah. I definitely want to do more of that kind of stuff. I do feel like I am a bit of a hermit sometimes, and I just just go home and like work on books and stuff. And it'd be nice to sort of actually talk to some writers face to face and make some real relationships.
Shall I share my writers group story?
Yeah.
So you know about this, but yesterday was the meetup of my regular writers group, which is a 3-hour session over at one of the pubs somewhere near my house. And I have gotten to that point now where the writers group was one of the things that got me going.
Yeah.
And I love the people that go. But when we go, it's a case of people will take it in turn to lead the session. We'll put out a couple of exercises about 15 minutes long, and you come out with some stuff that, I mean, you're not really going to use, but it could seed some good ideas.
Yeah.
And just as I was about to leave, I sat there and went, I don't know if I want to go, because that's 3 hours where babysitting sorted. I have 3 hours to myself where I can go to this thing. I could just go to a room somewhere and actually work on my stuff and actually just progress in that way. And I ended up going to the writers group in the end because I was like, no, Daniel, you must see people. Otherwise, you just...
Are you glad you went?
I am, yeah. It was cool. It was chilled out. I'm kind of bound to the next month as well because I've got to run it. But I was glad.
What are you going to do it on?
I don't know. Last time I did, it was a Father's Day one. So I did kind of a theme on family and trying to draw on memories in your fiction. But
yeah,
90% of the people that go are poets. So any exercise has to be adaptable to both poets and fiction.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I'll probably think about it the day
before. So when you rock up with your like horror fiction.
Yeah. Okay. We're going to read about the different body parts and how long they take to decay. Yes. I don't know what I'll do yet, but I was glad I went, but there's still that burning part of me, no matter what I do now, where if I'm, I don't know, if a friend asks to meet up for a drink and I pop out, or if I have to do something, I'm just like, but I could be writing.
Yeah.
It's a disease.
Yeah. It is a bit like all encompassing. And I do feel like, I mean, I get a lot of writing done, and we both do, but I do feel like I do need to balance that a bit more, maybe. And I think one of those ways we could do that and sort of reconcile it in my brain so it's not like, I'm wasting time, is by going to like conventions and writing groups and stuff like that. So I'm
productive fun.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I'm still ticking stuff off the to-do list.
And I'm gonna working towards something. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's always that one. But I do feel like that's also a bit of a curse of where we're currently at with our writing, because it's that whole, you know, with me particularly, it was I had the things I was doing and then I chose to become a writer, which meant I had to find these extra gaps to do it, meaning I had less time in the day for other things. But we're working towards going full time. Once we're full time, because there's no if, once we're full time, time will free up. I know it's not going to be the dream where we can have every hour of the day to do whatever, but I feel like then we'll be able to chill back a little bit and become people again.
Become like real people outside of work. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. What else would I like to do? So Sideways Podcast is one thing. I want to launch They Remain. Like I want that to get out there. That would feed us with the more money thing as well. Because then we'll have like the start of a funnel. Do you know what I mean? We can promo book one for free, and then it will lead people onto book two. What else do I do? So I think I'd like to, at some point this year, so what one of my little projects that I do, my personal project, is I come up with a new story idea every single day, and that is starting to get on my tits a bit. like there's sometimes, there's like, I go through a little burst and I'm like, oh, this is an amazing idea. I've got loads of moves, like, it's just coming out. But then there's a lot of ideas and I'm just sitting there going, I'm just going to write whatever shit comes to my mind. And I read it back and I'm like, I'm never going to do anything with that. That was a complete waste of time.
Yeah.
But I do think for the next, once I finish, so I'm on idea 277 or something. Once I finish this year of story ideas, I think I'm going to do a Project 52 where I do a short story every week and just put it on the website. And like, because I love writing short stories and I want to do more of them, I think. Because I just feel like they're a really great sketchbook. I'm sure I'll get pissed off of those as well. But
they're definitely a good outlet.
Yeah. Also, I want to fulfill and satisfy our Kickstarter backers. I think there's one thing is making the money from a Kickstarter campaign. The other thing is actually, if you want to do more of them, which we do, you kind of want, you need to do what deliver. You said. Yeah, you need to deliver. Exactly. And I think that's what I want to, got really to talk about there. God, I've got a question for you. So what is the best thing you've done this year in terms of like writing career? Like the best tactic or thing you've implemented or software you've taken up or anything like that? And what is the worst thing? Like the worst habit or the worst piece of software? I don't know.
Jesus Christ. Okay, so I think the best thing I've implemented is the bullet journal.
Yeah, you're still doing that?
Yeah, I've actually upgraded. So I bought a Moleskine notebook and I was adjusting that and putting in my own bits, and then decided that it took far too long to actually sketch out the fucking calendar every time.
Yeah.
So I've actually bought it from Amazon. It's called an Action Diary and it's £15. And it's basically on each day, it's got the week in sort of the top three quarters of the quadrant. Then you have a list at the side of things to do that week, sort of mini lists. You have a running tally of goals in the bottom corner, and then like a box for things that you delegate to other people.
Yeah.
And just using that and getting more organized, I'm now at a point where, rather than trying to juggle so many things in my head, if I have an idea or something that I need to do, I'm like, I'll quickly sketch that down and then I can come back to it and just tick it off. And just implementing that has just made things 1,000 times easier to keep track of.
Yeah. So the best thing, I've kind of messed it up because I've put here co-writing, but we started doing that like last June or something. But I do feel like that has been amazing for many different reasons. Like one thing, like you up your, like the stuff that you're making, like you become a lot more productive in terms of stuff you're getting out there. And also I've learned a lot from reading your writing and the way you, and the way we sort of write together and the way the prose changes. And I don't know, it's just been like really, really great. And I'm so glad like you just sort of opened that up. And I sort of want to do, I don't know, I'm happy to keep doing it for as long as need be.
Definitely.
I do like the idea of us doing solo projects as well. But I don't know, I'm happy to, this is really cool. I'm really enjoying it. I do think like this year, so I've got a whiteboard there and it sits right, so when I'm writing, that is right in my face. And I just sort of once a week, it sounds stupid, but I just once a week put on four or five things I'm going to do. And pretty much every single week I've got them done. Like it's just having that constant reminder right in your face is perfect.
Yeah. The minute you start getting into that pattern of actually seeing things get ticked and crossed off, you're suddenly like, I want to put more stuff on there so I can cross it out.
Yeah.
And you start backtracking on things you did last year. I did that cross out.
Also, I've started to do like what I call a week streak. So if I took everything off on that weekly list, then that's that like ties me over to the next week, and I'll start building up a run.
Yeah. I've done similar. I found an app on my phone called Loop Tracker, and you keep track of all your different habits. And every day that you complete one, you check it off.
Yeah.
So on mine, I've got five that I'm keeping track of. I've got write every day, read every day, drink. It says drink only water, but I'm on drink lots of water. Wake up early, and then Amish potty break.
Amish potty break, what's that?
Going to the toilet without my phone.
Okay. actually, I would say one of the best things I've done this year is read a shitload of fiction. Like last year, I read so many like non-fiction because I was like, I need to learn how to market a book. I need to learn how to, you know, do all this sort of like business stuff.
Businessy bits, yeah.
And then this year, I'm just like, just read fiction. And I've read more fiction books in these first 3 months than I read the entirety of last year.
you seem to be a fast reader, though.
But the thing is, I never thought I was. But maybe just got faster. I don't know, but like I'm really enjoying it. I'm just finding a lot of time to just sit down and write. And also, reading really good fiction makes you want to write.
Oh, hell yeah. And reading average fiction makes you feel better. This is going to sound really horrible, but reading average fiction makes you feel better about yourself and almost validates your own work.
I've been reading a lot of print books as well. Like, because you can get them for like fairly cheap, like used books. Like, I think there is something good about holding a physical book. And I do feel like, as indies, we need to be focusing more on print books as well. Because I think it's very ebook focused.
Yeah, there's a lot of that going about. I mean, I buy a lot of print books, and I've got a lot of print books up on my shelf that I want to get to. But I just find that the pockets in the day that I have to read, generally it's nighttime when it's dark and my partner's asleep, so I just use my tablet.
Yeah.
Or audiobook I've gotten a lot into because I just listen to them on my bike riding to work.
Yeah. You know what? That's one thing I've actually found. I've stopped listening to so many podcasts, and in place of that, I read my books.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, I've got quite a few things actually that I'm like, this is the best thing ever. But if I narrowed it down to two, I would say whatever my first thing was, because I can't remember.
bullet journal, action diary.
Bullet journal. And the second one was, so in the last episode, I said that I was giving up social media for Lent.
Yeah.
Kind of fell through a bit because my job is in marketing and a lot of that's in social digital marketing. So I kind of had to put stuff back on my phone. But it did make me appreciate the quiet times in the day that you can actually have. So a couple of times a week, I just won't listen to anything on the way to work. It's a 25-minute bike ride where I can just...
Do you ever meditate? Oh, you can't really do it when you're riding a bike.
No,
dangerous.
No, I did a couple of months back. I tried to get up every morning and meditate for 10 minutes, but I just fell asleep again.
Yeah.
It's really difficult. So go on, what's the worst thing for you?
It's difficult. I've just put here maybe take a little bit too much on, but I don't think that's even true when I think about it because... February was difficult. February was difficult because there's so much I was trying to get done in February. And I feel like there was more we could have done in the Kickstarter campaign. There's more effort I could have put into writing fiction. Maybe I'll say that. Maybe I took too much on for February.
Yeah. I don't know what mine would be, to be honest. I'm just so perfect. bullshit. I honestly don't know. That's a really difficult question.
Yeah. Well, we'll think about it. I've got a quick fire round questions for you.
Okay. Oh, I'm excited.
Okay.
I've always wanted to know what it's like on the other side of this.
Okay. You ready?
Yeah.
Okay. Number one, favorite book you've read this year?
I'm already freezing. Hell's Children by John Monk.
Okay. Number two, Stephen King writing erotica or erotica writers rewriting Stephen King books with erotic scenes every other page?
Erotica writers rewriting Stephen King every page. I think Stephen King's erotica would scare me.
Yeah. Number three, best TV show you haven't seen?
Under the Dome.
Have you not seen it?
No.
Number four, would you rather be bold or born without a face?
Born without a face.
But then be bold. That makes me feel great. Okay.
Sorry.
If you avoid work by hiding in a toilet, what are you?
A gremlin.
A procrastinator, I've got here. beer or spirits? In ghosts.
Ghosts.
Favorite person on the planet?
There are some weird things coming into my head right now.
It's not Stephen King erotica, isn't it? Who?
No, I had I'll remember it in a minute. Keep asking, I'll remember it in a sec.
Okay. Lincoln or Essex?
Essex.
Okay. That's all the questions I've got. So who's your favourite person on the planet that wasn't Bailey? That wasn't your, like, correct... That's the correct answer. What was the incorrect answer?
I had, like, Ed and Eddie pop into my head. I probably panicked.
All three?
And then I was like, yeah, all of them. And then...
You can't pick between the Eds.
No, I don't know which is which. I just had all the Nickelodeon cartoons just mashing my head. I was like, what the... That was fun. Okay, I have to... Have I done one on you before?
Yeah, we did one a while back. Yeah. Oh, well, actually, I think we did one where we did each other.
Jesus Christ.
And it was very quick fire, that one.
Can we put an apology on this episode in the show notes?
Sure. have you got... what was the worst thing this year for you?
The only thing I put down to is not reading enough nonfiction at the minute.
Okay, cool. So that's about the long and short of it for this show. So quick thanks to Disaster Piece for the intro and outro music, Acast for hosting the podcast, the listeners for listening, and to Dan, my co-host, for being here, because without you, I would be alone.
Woohoo!
And do my own quick fire round on myself. That'd
be awkward as balls.
Yeah, there'll be balls involved for sure. Okay. All right, man. I'll talk to you in a bit.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Story Studio podcast. Still hungering for some podcast goodness? Then why not check out our other show, The Other Stories? Oh, and did you know, every time you leave us a review in the iTunes store, a puppy is born. Cute, eh? Anyway, toodle pip.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.